the sovereign says. The oracle is designed to measure truth. It's in fluctuations of temperature, chemicals in the blood, pulse of the heart. You don't have to play if you don't want, Darrow. Usher purrs. You can go the easy way with the Praetorians. Death is not so bad. I glare at the sovereign. Let's play. Would you assassinate me tonight if you could?
No.
We all watch the oracle. Even I. After a moment, nothing happens. I swallow in relief. The sovereign smiles.
This game doesn't have an end, I mutter. How do I even win?
You make me lie.
How many times have you played this game? I ask.
71. In the end, I've trusted only one other. Where does Augustus hide his unregistered electromagnetic weapons?
Asteroid depots, hidden armories throughout Mars's cities.
I list the particulars.
And in the dais of this reception room.
That surprises them.
Where are yours?
She lists off 60 locations in fast order. She tells everything because she's never lost. She's never had to worry about the information walking out the door.
Such confidence.
What does that Pegasus pendant mean to you? She asks. Is it from your father?
I look down. It spilled out of my shirt. It means hope. Part of my father's legacy. Did you help Carnus at the academy?
Yes. I gave him that ship he rammed you with. Did you really intend to launch yourself at his bridge?
Yes. Why did you bring Virginia into your inner circle?
The same reason you fell in love with her.
My pulse quickens. Aja smiles, hearing it.
Virginia is special. And we both come from fathers who left much to be desired. When I was a girl, I would have given anything to belong to a different family, but I was the daughter of the sovereign. I gave her a gift no one could have given me. You see, I collect people I enjoy, Andromedus. I even enjoy Fichtner there. Many might see him as repugnant, might think his heritage unseemly, but, like you, he is so very talented. When I asked him to play this game before becoming one of my Olympic knights, you know what he said?
I can imagine.
Fichtner?
He shrugs his slumped shoulders. Told you to stick the box up your cooch. I'm not an idiot.
I think it was even more crass than that.
Aja grumbles.
My turn. The sovereign examines her rage knight. Did Fichtner violate his oath as a proctor and cheat at the Mars Institute, as rumor would have me believe?
Yes, I say, watching the oracle instead of my old proctor. He cheated like the rest.
I know Fichtner would not have gained this post were she not sure of his loyalty to her. And not Augustus, which means Fichtner must have come clean and supplied her with details of Augustus's ill dealings.
I glance back at the man. Though I don't know if he was paid like the others.
He wasn't. Their mistake, the sovereign says. Gave us video evidence, audio, bank statements, useful leverage against each proctor.
Severo must have given his father the video footage when I had him tinkering with it. Crafty little bastard.
He actually does care about his father, after all.
Augustus would kill them both if he knew about the duplicity. I want to interrogate the sovereign about military outposts, supply lines, operational imperatives and security measures, but I know that would appear strange. It would lead to her asking strange questions of her own.
The oracle tightens slightly on my arm, sucking out only tiny drops of blood at a time. I don't know how well this thing can sense untruths, but what do I do if she asks me where I was born, who my father is,
why I rub dirt between my fingers before I fight.
Shit. She could just ask me if I'm a Red.
But how would she ever think to do that, unless I gave her the sense that something was off about me?
Are any in my inner circle your spies? I ask.
Very clever.
No.
Where did you go with Victor Augulii 3 days ago, and what did you do?
The Sovereign asks.
To Lost City.
Somehow the Oracle senses I'm holding back. Its stinger trembles with excitement.
To meet the Jackal, Augustus's son.
It tightens further.
To form an alliance.
Sweat beads on my collar, and the Oracle relaxes, the answer sufficient.
Why do they call Lorne Stoneside?
He didn't tell you.
It's not because he's tough as stone, like they'd tell you now.
It's because on campaign in the Moon Rebellion, he was famous for eating anything. And one day, a grey bet him he couldn't eat stones.
Lorne doesn't back down.
When did Lorne teach you?
Every morning before first light, between my graduation from the Institute and enrollment at the Academy.
Incredible, no one found out.
How many Peerless Scarred are there? I ask. Census data is so hard to come by.
The Board of Quality Control is monstrous in hoarding its high-level material.
There are 132,689 for nearly 40 million golds. Why did Lorne take you as a student?
Because he thinks we're the same sort of man.
What are your two greatest fears?
Octavia,
Aja warns. Shut up, Aja. All's fair.
She looks over to Lysander and smiles.
My greatest fear is that my grandson will grow up to be like my father. The second is the inevitability of age. Why did you cry when you killed Julian Albalona?
Because he was kinder than the world let him be.
Did you arrange Virginia and Cassius's courtship?
No. It was her idea.
I held on to hope that it was something arranged, something she had to do.
Why did you sing the Red Ballad to Virginia at the Institute?
Because she forgot the words, and I think it the saddest song ever sung.
I pause before my next question.
You want to ask about Virginia again, don't you?
The corner of her lips twitch with pleasure as she plucks my pain.
Do you want to know if I'll give her to you if you join me? It's possible.
She is not a thing to be given, I say.
She laughs, amused at my innocence.
If you say so.
Where are the three deep space command centers?
I ask recklessly.
She gives me the coordinates without blinking.
How did you know the words to the reaping song?
I heard it as a boy, and I forget little.
Where?
It's not your turn, I remind her. Why are you asking me these questions?
Because one of my furies has led me to suspect the sons of Ares are perhaps something different than we imagined, something more dangerous. Who is Ares?
My heart thunders. I don't know.
I watch the Oracle's tail. It doesn't move.
Who do you think Ares is?
Your master.
39, 42, 56,
Aja says. The Sovereign wags a long finger.
Strange. Your heart gives you away.
I clear my mind. Let it all fade. Imagine the mines. Remember the wind moving through them. Remember her hands on mine as we walked barefoot through cold dirt to the place where we first lay together, in the hollow of an abandoned township. Her whispers. How she sang the lullaby my mother sang to my siblings and me.
55, 42, 39,
Aja says. Is Augustus Ares? She asks.
Relief floods me.
No, he's not Ares. The door slams open behind me. We turn to see Mustang stalking into the room wearing the gold and white uniform of House Loon, complete with the family's crescent moon symbol. A data pad glows on her wrist. She bows to the sovereign. My liege?
Virginia, you're still a mess,
Azure drawls.
Blame this dumb son of a bitch.
Mustang nods to me.
73 dead. 2 earthborn families erased, neither of which had anything to do with Bellona or Augustus. Over 200 wounded.
She shakes her head. I grounded all ships as you asked, Octavia. Praetorian Command has initiated a no-fly zone in orbit. All family-owned capital ships have had their warrants revoked and are being pushed beyond the Rubicon beacons till we give further notice. And Cassius still lives. He's with the Yellows. Citadel carvers are preparing plans for replacing the arm.
The Sovereign thanks her and asks her to sit.
Darrow and I are getting to know each other. Are there any questions you think we should ask him?
Mustang sits beside the Sovereign.
My advice, my liege? Don't try to solve Darrow. He's a puzzle with missing pieces.
That's rather offensive, I say playfully. But her words sting.
So you don't think we should keep him?
Cassius and his mother will... Mustang starts.
Will what?
The Sovereign interrupts.
I made Cassius an Olympic knight. He will be grateful. And he will study his razor so this does not happen again.
Her face softens, and she touches Mustang's knee.
Are you all right, my dear?
I'm fine. Seems like I interrupted your game. I can't tell which woman is playing the other, but with Carnus's words at the gala, and the knowledge that the ships were grounded before I even started the skirmish, I know the Sovereign had plans. And now I think I can piece together just what they were.
One last question. I've been saving it for the end.
Do ask, boy. We have no secrets here. But it must be the last. Agrippina au Julii has been kept waiting long enough.
Aja opens the box so the oracles may go back inside. Tonight at the gala, during the 6th course of the meal, did you plan to allow the Bellona to assassinate Arch-Governor Augustus and all those who sat at his table?
Aja freezes.
Mustang slowly turns to look at the Sovereign, whose face shows no hints of dishonesty. The woman breathes easily, and with a soft smile, lies through her teeth.
No, she says. I did not.
The oracle's barbed tail strikes at her flesh. Chapter 16. The Game. Fitzner's razor buzzes, and he chops away the tail faster than a bee beats its wings. It flops to the floor, transparent stinger hissing out poison. On the Sovereign's arm, the wounded creature screams, wailing and writhing like a dying cat. The Sovereign rips it off and throws it at the wall. My own releases slowly, as if connected with the other. Mewing pathetically, it retreats to its box to hide in the darkness. I dab away the faint trail of blood it left on my forearm.
So you do lie, I say with a wicked grin.
The Sovereign exhales a long sigh. Mustang stands, enraged.
You promised you would not hurt them. You lied.
Yes.
Octavia rubs her temples.
A matter of necessity.
You said there were no lies here, Mustang hisses. That was a precondition of my allegiance to you, the only thing I asked for, and you planned to do it while I watched.
Sit.
The Sovereign stands, drawing nose to nose with Mustang.
Sit down.
Mustang sits, breathing heavily. She won't look at me or the Sovereign. She's surrounded by betrayal. The Sovereign notes this, piecing together a new strategy as Mustang draws a gold ring from her pocket and rolls it compulsively through her fingers.
Do you know why I need your family gone?
Octavia asks Mustang. She doesn't reply.
I asked you a question, Virginia. Put aside petulance and answer.
He is a threat to peace. Mustang replies flatly, slipping the ring on her finger. He disregards your orders. He does not obey financial directives. He delays helium-3 exports for political gain.
If I tried removing him from power, what would happen?
Mustang looks up at her.
He would rebel. So what am I to do? If he rebels while on Mars, it becomes his planet fortress. The monies it would take me to pry him out, to find him, to kill him, to reinstate order is incomprehensible. Ships, men, food, munitions, trade, helium-3 shortages. The society would not recover for years. We cannot afford an enemy like him, but we also cannot afford an ally to so publicly affront us. What if the governors of the gas giants thought they were immune to my orders because we're lenient with your father? Because we let him manipulate helium prices or ignore sovereign directives? 40 years ago, in the first year of my reign, the moons of Saturn rebelled. The war did not end until I destroyed the moon Rhea outright. 50 million dead. That is how stubborn our race is. They know how difficult it is for me to flex my hand billions of kilometers from the core. But still they are afraid. So much of a ruler's reign is a figment of the people's imagination. My power isn't ships, isn't Praetorians. My power is their fear. But they must have fresh reminders.
And so my family is to be the reminder?
Yes. Tell me that doesn't make sense.
Mustang stays quiet for a long moment.
It is the logical political move. But he's my father, which is why I didn't tell you. Consider this.
She waves her hand, and a hollow ignites on the floor, rising to fill half the room. It's a riot. Building smoke. Greys mow down women and men with pulse weapons.
She changes the image. A dozen more dance across the room. A woman falls in front of me, dead, hole in her skull, smoking still. I stare down at the sudden horror.
"Is this Mars?"
I ask, fearing for my family.
"You would think so, wouldn't you?"
The Sovereign traces a finger through the muzzle of a pulse rifle as it fires.
"It's Venus." "Venus,"
Mustang whispers.
"There are no sons of Ares on Venus.
Nor will there be after tonight. The flame spreads even to the core.
2 hours ago, multiple bombings racked this society. My politicos and praetors and various high-level personnel throughout the Empire have initiated Order Zero. No media will report this. Wherever there are flames, we make quarantine. We will snuff them out. Something your father did not do, Virginia. In fact, he allowed the suns to thrive, to spread here."
I warned Harmony. I only hope the suns aren't all lost. The Sovereign crouches in front of Mustang.
"Your father must die. He hanged the very woman the sons of Ares used to start all this." His face
burns across their propaganda. If he goes, if we strike them, then they fade. We will kill two birds with one stone. Arrange the transfer of power to Bellona, and Mars is at peace for the first time in my reign. All it costs is 50 lives. I know he is your father, but you came into my fold for a reason.
Looking at Mustang, I understand that reason now, and it breaks my heart. She stands slowly, walking to the window as if fleeing the decision. She stares out at a ship passing in the distant fog.
When Mother was alive, he used to ride with me through the forest. We'd stop at this wild blossom clearing and lay on the red flowers, arms out, pretending we were angels. That man is dead. Do with the new one as you like.
Chapter 17. What the Storm Brings. The Obsidians escort me to new quarters, Fitchner trailing along behind, pacing jovially on the marble floors. When we reach my door, he takes my hand.
Well played, boyo. Good reading on her. Knowing she wants what she can't have. Gory damn clever. Warms my heart to finally see you playing the game and winning, you little pisser.
He slugs my shoulder.
Tomorrow, we'll go to market and buy you servants. Pinks, blues, obsidians of your very own. For now, I left you a present.
He gestures into my room, where a lithe pink lies on the bed.
Enjoy.
You don't know me at all, do you?
He sighs and leans forward.
This is the hand life has dealt you. It's not a bad hand. Imagine the things you can do as a personal emissary of the sovereign. She makes your governor look like a small-town slumlord. You have your girl. You have your opportunity. Embrace your new life.
The door slams. A new life. But is it worth the cost? I don't know what's happening with the sons. That's something I can't affect.
But he expects me to let Roke die? To let Tactus and Victor and Theodora perish to Praetorian death squads?
I walk around my suite ignoring the pink. Luna's night clouds sprawl as far as the eye can see beyond the huge bank of windows that comprises the suite's north wall. Buildings puncture the clouds like glittering spears. I am trapped by opulence. Rain continues to pour. The storms of Luna are enigmatic creatures. For a man of Mars, it is a slow rain, lethargic, as though the drops tire of their own fall in this low gravity. But the winds that come are gales. There are no cracks in the Citadel's windows through which the wind can whistle. I miss the moans of my old castle on Mars, miss the laments of the deep mines. Those moments when the drill cooled, and I sat there touching my wedding band through my fry suit, thinking of how soon it would be that I had her lips to mine, her hands on my waist, her body drifting light as dust over my own. But I cannot think only of the red girl. When I see the moon, I think of the sun. Mustang burns in my thoughts. If Io smelled of rust and soil, then the golden girl is fire and autumn leaves. Part of me wishes I would remember only Io, that my mind belonged to her, so I could be like one of those knights of legend. A man so in love with one lost that he closes his heart to all others. But I am not that legend. In so many ways I'm still a boy, lost and afraid, seeking warmth and love. When I feel dirt, I honor Io, and when I see fire, I remember the warmth and flicker of the flames across Mustang's skin as we lay in our chamber of ice and snow. I examine the empty room, which smells neither of leaves nor soil, but cardamom. The room is too vast for my taste, too rich. There is ivory on the walls, a sauna, a massage parlour adjacent to a pleasure chamber. There's a comm chair, a bed, a small swimming pool. These are my chambers now.
I see in a data file that I've been given a 50 million credit stipend to choose my attendants.
They left me an additional 10 million to populate my harem. This is the price they pay me for betraying my friends. It is not enough. My eyes now fall on the pink who lies on my bed. Naked, covered only by a blanket. I threw it on her to mask her form, thinking of poor Evie when I first saw her. But the longer I look at this new girl, the harder it is to remember Evie, to remember Io or Mustang. That's what pinks are for, to help you forget. So effective, they even make you forget their own sad plight. When she grows old, she'll be sold off from the Citadel's staff to some high-class brothel, and a few more lines will form, and she'll be sold down the ladder and down the ladder till she has nothing more to give. It happens to men. It happens to women. And, I'm beginning to realize, it happens to golds. The pink asks me to join her, to let her soothe what ails me. I don't reply. I sit on the edge of the windowsill, my hands kneading my thighs, waiting. I don't have my razor. Obsidians guard the hall outside. The glass window won't break by any means I have at my disposal, but I do not worry. I sit watching the storm, feeling another brew inside myself. With a hiss, the door opens. I turn, a smile already cracking my face. Mustang, I... Through the door slips a demure male pink, with white hair, and eyes that'd break a thousand hearts in Lycos. It breaks mine now. I was wrong. Who are you? I ask. He sets a small onyx box down on my bed in front of the other pink. Who is it from? I demand. You'll see, Dominus, he says. Daintily he extends a hand to the other pink, who, confused, takes it and follows him from the room. The door closes. I'm just as confused as the pink. I rush to the box, opening it, and find a small hollow cube. I activate it. Mustang's face appears, glowing. Take cover, she says. The power goes out, and the door locks by default. The room is plunged into darkness. Lightning lashes through the clouds outside, thunder rumbles, and I hear something. A howling. It is not the wind. Another flash of lightning and he appears, floating in the bitter storm like the ugliest angel ever shit out of heaven. A wolf pelt hangs from his shoulders, whips in the wind. His black metal helmet is that of a wolf's head, and he's armed to the bloody teeth. Severo has come, and he's brought friends. Lightning. Thunder again, and this time it illuminates his slash of a smile and the 8 floating killers behind him. 9 howlers in all. Small, cruel little devils, waiting in the darkness, silhouetted by the crackling of the storm's electricity. Long-legged Quinn is there, too. I duck into the sauna as Severo touches the glass with a pulse fist, after setting up a jam field to absorb the sound. The glass ruptures inward. The distorted sound of the storm follows them as they thump down onto the carpeted marble floor. Wind whips up my bedsheets and tapestries. One by one, they kneel. Pudgy Pebble, Cruel Harpy, Spindly Open-Faced Clown, and all the others. Friends, get up,
I bellow. You're already short enough.
They laugh and rise. Pebble and Clown rush forward and weld shut my metal door with plasma torches. Water drips from Severo's hook nose as he nods toward me, his helmet absorbed into his armor. Hair buzzed in the shape of dragons. Quiet and so full of derision, he hefts a huge, heavy bag in his other hand. And when he walks, he moves with disdain for this low gravity, as though it were a thing for weaklings and fools.
Lord Reaper! You look like a pixie ponce in this lady den!
Severo sweeps into a theatrical bow after he places the bag at my feet.
Perhaps that's why Mustang believed you were in dire need of your gory damn pack.
She brought you back from the rim.
All of us, Quinn says. We've been here several weeks on standby. She needed men she knew wouldn't be loyal to the Sovereign.
An insurance policy. I can't believe I ever doubted her. In no world would Mustang help kill her father. I realized during my conversation with the Sovereign that it had to be why she's here in the first place. To infiltrate the Sovereign's family like I infiltrated the Golds.
As she entered the Sovereign suite, I remembered how before the duel she mentioned having her own plans.
Now it finally clicks into place. They were both playing their own games, but I helped reveal the Sovereign's hand.
The Sovereign wasn't worried about me knowing anything. Else why play the game?
But as soon as Mustang entered the room, the paradigm altered. She should have concluded the game then and there, but her pride got the better of her.
As for Mustang, I knew she was with me as soon as she took the gold horse ring I gave her from her pocket and slipped it onto her finger. My heart leapt in that moment, and I knew she'd find our way out of this.
Severo.
I smile and clasp his hand.
Our arch-governor is...
I know. Mustang briefed us.
Come here, you tall devil.
Quinn steps past the others and slips her thin arm around my waist and kisses my cheek. She smells like home. I have missed these people. The wind howls as it passes through our jam field.
Severo's bionic eye glitters unnaturally. Quinn has brought me grav boots, ebony in color. I slip them on.
Mustang might have brought us from the rim, but we didn't come for her. We didn't come for Augustus. We came for you, Reaper.
Severo snarls.
Quinn frowns as Severo spits on the pretty carpet.
We saw what you did to Cassius, and we want what you're trying to make.
And that is? I ask, more than a little confused.
What poor killers always want.
War, he growls.
And all its spoils.
What of your father? He has a high place now.
Fissner is a shit-eater,
he sneers.
He's made his bed. Let him sleep in it while we burn the house down.
Well, if you want war, if you want spoils, we better move. The arch-governor's the one with an army.
Quinn nods.
And Roke's down there, and Tactus.
Tactus, Severo mutters, though I know the sneer on his face is for Roke.
He watches Quinn, eyes sad for the smallest moment, before adjusting his armor.
So what's the plan? I ask, and take the razor Pebble offers me.
Severo and Quinn look at each other and laugh.
Mustang's fetching a ship. She said you'd figure out the rest,
Quinn says.
Just then the door behind me shudders and glows with a dilating pupil of red-hot metal, and I notice something. The bag that Severo threw down. It moves.
Severo smiles at me. I know that smile.
Severo? Reaper?
What did you do?
Mustang brought us a package. Let's just say...
Quinn grins at my shoulder.
It's not their cook.
I unzip the bag.
and gawk.
"Are you mad?"
I ask him. He just howls. Chapter 18. Bloodstains. Father once told me that a hell diver can never stop. You stop, and the drill can jam. The fuel burns too quickly. The quota might be missed. You never stop. Just shift drills if the friction gets too hot. Caution comes second. Use your inertia, your momentum. That is why we dance. Transfer movement into more movement. Uncle Nerol always told me to stop. He was wrong. I lose so many drill bits because of him. Then again, Nerol lived longer than Father, so maybe he has a point. My howlers jump with me out the window, and we don't stop when we dive into the black storm. We freefall, piercing the clouds without the use of our grav boots, like black rain screaming toward the ground. I'm first. I feel them behind me. My howlers. The oxygen is thin at first. I hold my breath. My eyeballs nearly freeze in their sockets. Tears trickle out. My body shivers as the cold wind bites me. We use our grav boots now to cut across the citadel, skirt among the clouds to keep from sight. Villas beneath, buildings, gardens and parks, barracks and statued plazas. A ripwing cuts through the sky. We slide behind a spire and stick there like spiders till our scanners say he's passed. A shiver amid my armored friends. Then we float down again, a kilometer from the villa. Weed carries Severo's present now. Slung around his back, it weighs him down a bit. I land on the wall that surrounds the villa and separates it from the other compounds, where the other notable families hunker in fear of what the night brings. It's warmer now that we're lower to the ground. Howlers land around me, looking like gargoyles on the wall. Darkness claims the villa's grounds. We're early, I wonder. No signs of fighting, but the lights are out. Or late, Severo says. If they were murdered in their beds, this is to look like a Bologna massacre. The Sovereign won't want to be implicated. But what does that even mean? The Bologna would come with greys, obsidians, golds, and despite all their vaunted honor, they would destroy every last woman and child with any means at their disposal. You do not let your foot off the throat of an enemy and remain powerful, as they have, for hundreds of years. The killing will be silent, though. The Sovereign may control the citadel, but chaos would bring unwelcome eyes, unwelcome variables, and it would make her look weak. Better to have the act done. Better to say the Bologna did it, and damn what anyone thinks. With the Augustans dead, what is the point in mourning them? That's how Goles think. But if they are alive, having escaped assassination, well, that's another thing entirely. Quinn. I lean close so I can hear her whisper.
Visual is too clear. If they have optics, they'll spot us up on the wall.
She points to the roof.
We can make an incursion there, sweep down, level by level.
I hear the worry in her voice. We'll get Roke, I say. Promise. I pat her arm.
Severo, how long till we have the shuttle?
Mustang is 10 out.
I pop my neck and rub the rein between my fingers.
Per aspera ad astra. Through the thorns to the stars.
Severo snickers.
You fancy little fart. Omnis vir lupus.
Everyone a wolf. The howlers flash smiles to one another, and we rip away from the wall.
We land on the roof, silent and dark.
Weed stays on the high wall with Mustang's present squirming in the bag. Predators, we stalk over clay tiles, in through a window on the villa's seventh level, two at a time. The place is a complex. Dozens of rooms, seven levels, fountains running throughout. Baths, basement, steam rooms. Their infrared is worthless, then. Too much hot water going through pipes. It's quiet as a crypt in here. We creep along, checking the bedrooms, flowing like water around one another, as we did at the Institute. Severo and Thistle ghost ahead, scouting. Grav boots deactivated so the hum can't be heard. There's not a soul to be seen. Every room empty, beds unmade, including the Arch-Governor's. The Augustans are not here. So where are they? They've no military armaments besides some armor and razors and a few pulse fists. The bodyguards were wiped out before they even returned to the villa. Augustus and his entourage couldn't have climbed the walls. Perhaps they flew away on grav boots. But they would have been spotted, shot down. We only slipped in because we're unexpected.
Captured?
Severo asks. No. For the Praetorians tonight, the only good Augustan is a dead one.
Pop. We all look at one another. A jam field has just gone up, a big one. We're inside it. Likely the whole villa complex is inside it. Something's about to happen.
I glance out the window and see a shadow moving across the garden lawn. Three shadows in the rain. I duck and signal Severo. Praetorians. Ghost cloaks. My heart makes my ribcage rattle. He moves to the window, about to jump out to try to kill them. I pull him back.
What the hell are you doing?
I whisper. He scowls.
I want to kill someone. Not yet, damn it. We're not an army.
No one on the seventh level. We go down a circular marble stairwell. Their oiled armor creaks softly, echoing down the cavernous stairwell. We can see the marble of the first level more than 100 feet beneath, but no movement. The first blood is found on the sixth level, seeping from the steam room. Pull the door open, heart throbbing into my throat, ready to see mutilated golds. It's a sadder sight. More than 20 pinks, browns, and violets thought to hide in this room. The Bologna and Praetorians found them, killed them. It's a queer sight. Each death so clean. Jab wounds to the skull. Just shows how little chance these poor servants had. The golds put them down like cattle. I search through them frantically, hoping not to find her. Praying. She's not here. Theodora must be with the rest of them. A cold rage fills me. I feel it seep into the howlers. We find the first dead gold at the stairwell down to the fifth floor. An old knight of my house. His death was not pretty. We find another dead man farther on by a grav lift. He fell as if defending the lift while others descended. Out the window, I glimpse the Augustan lancer who mocked my skills with the razor only a day ago. She rushes from the house to the gardens. A shape coalesces out of the darkness. A gold Praetorian with purple fringe to his black armor chases her down. Two Bologna obsidians hammer in, forcing her to turn straight into her pursuer. He kills her with one swing. Nothing to be done. Her death is so fast. One moment she is panting, fearing, running. The next, both parts of her fall to the ground. These Praetorians don't play with their food. Severo mutters. Quinn looks at me, her eyes tracing the absence of armor or a helmet. She offers her own. I ignore her.
Darrow, we didn't come all this way to watch you die of a blow to the head.
Get off it, I say. Roke will write 1,000 gory poems if you get so much as a bump on yours. Keep the helmet, Q, Severo begs, if only because I hate poems. I let my borrowed razor slither into my palm and move through the level. At the door of each room, my blood races. I expect to find Roke's corpse, expect to see Victra's mangled body. Severo holds up a hand at the fourth floor stairwell and motions me forward. I slip toward him with Quinn and peer down. Dust rises up the circular stairwell. Beyond it, on the bottom floor landing, shadows move. But there is no noise. Severo bends and places a piece of debris on the edge of a banister, gesturing me to watch. The howlers cluster round, staring at it, and I stiffen. Though there is no sound, the piece of debris rocks slightly. Vibrations in the building. Before Severo and the others can stop me, I jump over the banister and rip down the center of the spiral stairwell with 10 times the velocity this moon's gravity would allow. Pop! I enter the domain of a second jam field, and sounds of war rattle over me. Concussive blasts, yelling, burners hissing out bullets, pulse weapons warbling like demented ghosts. The moment before I land, I tweak my grav boots, jerking myself to a powerful stop. I slap into the marble and swing my razor round my head in a violent loop. 4 Praetorian greys die. 8 thumps hitting the floor. Their ghost cloaks disintegrate like thin window frost against hot breath. Bodies strewn across the halls. Rubble, fires, greys and obsidians chase down Augustan goals. 6 greys overwhelm 2 goals with rail rifles, magnetic ammunition screaming into aegises till they overload and warp backward, consuming the goals' left arms. Rounds slap into the pulse shields that cover their bodies, overloading the circuitry. The greys slip forward with practiced precision and shoot the goals point-blank in their helmeted heads. The best armor in the solar system crumples inward, and the man and woman are gone. The greys turn in my direction, level their rifles, and my howlers cascade down around me. Their black aegises throb against the vambraces that cover their left forearms. They block the incoming fire. Severo slips from formation. Quinn follows. Ghosting, they flicker in and out of sight, moving as twin strands of smoke. Somehow they're among the greys, then back by my side before the greys fall. More weapon fire slams into our formation, nearly taking my naked head off. I duck behind my armored fellows. Terror pumps through me. A grey pops into the hall and fires a micro shot at us. 30 tiny bombs spread out like a swarm of hornets. Thistle and Rotback blast the swarm apart with their pulse fist. A sheet of blue fire billows through the hall. A second swarm of bombs howls after the first. Quinn shunts off the power to her grav fist and shoots at the swarm of bombs just before they hit. They reverse course, back the way they came, where they slap into the grey squad and detonate. We won't last in here. Nothing will, I decide, when 3 Bellona obsidians lope into view, Carnus Au Bellona following at their heels. Some of my friends will die on this level if we fight all who come against us. There's a better way. A smarter way. Severo, make a hole! I shout, pointing 7 stories above us, up the center gap in the stairwell. He shoots his pulse fist upward, and chunks of stone rain down around us, suspended by Quinn's grav fist. Severo shoots again, and water rains down through the hole, swirling in the gravity bubble Quinn created. I stand and yell, "On me!" We ascend out of the chaos before the Praetorians fall on us. I come to a halt 200 meters above the villa. Wind whips. I had no plan when I dove down to the first level. I thought only of my friends. Now I know the howlers and I will be killed if we fight. I let my razor curl placidly around my arm. I instruct the howlers to do the same, and I roar into the darkness. Aja! The howlers close around me, nervous as we float exposed above the villa. The storm sends sheets of rain down on us. Aja! A horde of Praetorians disengage their ghost cloaks near the hot springs and lagoon, where the infrared is thrown into chaos by the heat of the water. 2 Praetorians rocket up from the garden, cutting through pine trees. 1 a stained. He flies closer, leveling his iron fist at my head. Get that thing out of my gory damn face, you stained whelp! Don't you recognize your betters? A Praetorian gold joins him. I don't recognize the woman. Her serpent helm recoils into her purple-black armor, sleeker than the obsidian's. Face sharp and ruthless, as an axe head.
Varga, heal!
She snaps. The stained lowers his weapon. His helmet slides into his own Praetorian armor, and I discover Varga is a she. An obsidian, a head shorter than I, with a tribal tattoo consuming her pale face. White hair flutters behind her. More scars on her face than I have on my entire body.
Ebony dog, Severo snaps. I'll shoot her if she snarls again. Were you the squad in the stairwell?
The gold glances over us, unsure of what to make of me or my howlers.
You killed my greys.
Don't weep over greys, I say. They raised their hands against me.
Why are you here?
She wipes the rain from her face.
The Sovereign confined you to your room for the night. Are you responsible for the power outage?
My business is the Sovereign's. She can't afford not to believe me. She pauses a beat, and I realize she has optics in her eyes. She checks the database.
Liar!
The stain's weapon comes back up.
You know who I am, Praetorian.
I say with as much authority as I can muster.
You also know I'm not on your list to kill. I have immunity.
Revoked.
So take me to Arja. Arja isn't here.
Don't lie to me. Her optics flicker in her irises, and she receives a digital command.
Follow me.
We land on white stones, and follow the Praetorian through the trees, toward the lagoon where the hot springs terminate.
What are you doing?
Severo whispers in my ear, eyeing Varga. He flips the woman the crux with his middle finger, wrapped around the index. I'm using your leverage. Arja stands in the garden, flanked by Bellona. Two gold, the rest obsidian. Only the one stained, Varga. The lagoon breathes tendrils of steam around the Protean knight's shoulders. She watches the water impassively, like a child watching a campfire waiting for a log to burn.
Darrow?
Arja purrs without looking at me.
You're not in your room.
She sizes up the howlers, recognizes them.
And you killed my men. Fitchner was wrong about you.
I have something you'll want, I say sharply, but call off your dogs.
They tried to escape before we came, even with their grav boots confiscated. Foolish attempt. They tried to contact the Julii, but they've been bought.
Victra, I ask.
She betrayed us.
Alive, with the rest. She'll be spared thanks to her mother's cooperation. Two Augustan ships made an effort to run our blockade in orbit. We shut them down. The Augustans are like cornered badgers.
Lions, I remind her. She flicks blood off her razor.
Not quite.
Are any still alive? I keep the panic from my voice and glance back at the villa.
The prizes are...
I breathe a sigh of relief. She lets her razor slither into her hand. It goes rigid, and she turns my way. Slitted pupils drink in the light.
Your friends are in the lagoon. They hid there because our infrared is blinded by the pool's heat. A desperate last attempt. The air filtration systems on their helmets will have short-circuited from the EMP, so all they'll have is the air in their helmets. Not much of it either. They won't last 15 minutes. Those who don't have helmets, perhaps 6 minutes. Soon they'll bob up like apples.
She smiles pleasantly.
I'm saving them for Carnos. He's inside finishing up the diversions.
He's a pleasure to watch, isn't he?
Hot rain clatters on our armor. The only sound.
Why are you here, Andromedus, and not in your room?
Aja plays with her razor, slicing raindrops in half.
The Sovereign was very clear.
I have something you'll want.
I repeat.
What I want is for Octavia to be obeyed. Fly back to your room, boy, and take a nice shower and fondle the rose we left in your bed. Drain your anger, or whatever this is, into her, and leave your oath whole. Do not raise a finger against me. You have killed Greys only. That is easily forgotten, yes? Return, and she will think this only a flight of youth. Stay, and I will add your corpse and those of your bronzy friends to the heap.
The howlers bristle behind me. As you killed the servants? I ask heatedly. Like goats for slaughter? Aja turns back to the pool.
It's time you left, Reaper.
You're disgusting. I step closer to her. All this power, and this is how you use it. Killing families in the middle of the gory damn night. Base fact is, you're a disgrace. I hope you remember the pain you brought others when I stand over your corpse. She turns on me in all her fury, razor snapping out, eyes gleaming. But she can't touch me. Not now. Not this night.
Darrow! Severo calls with a sudden, odd pleasantness to his voice.
Yes, Severo.
All that talk about remembering, aren't you forgetting something right now?
I think he is, Quinn agrees.
A wise,
but forgetful Reaper, finishes Clown in a very frivolous fashion. Apologies, Aja. I forgot what I even came here to tell you. I stand there looking flummoxed. Quinn sighs.
The bag. Oh, yes!
Thank you for reminding me, Severo. I cry theatrically. Aja doesn't know what the hell to make of this sudden banter. Tell Weed to get down here. Severo speaks into his comm, and a moment later Weed disengages his ghost cloak and flies from the wall a kilometer distant. We watch him approach. Pebble whistles a merry tune, earning a scowl from Harpy and a chuckle from Severo, who picks it up as well. The Praetorians think they are insane. Wolf pelts hanging from their backs, black custom armor, wolf helmets, and no one over 2 meters except for Quinn and me. It's like a violet traveling circus.
What are you playing at?
Aja demands.
Has no one ever bartered with you?
I ask, surprised.
More's the pity.
Weed lands in front of me and hands me the bag Severo gave me as a present. Aja asks what's in the bag. Order your men in the villa to stop the killing, and I will tell you.
I don't negotiate with boys, Aja says.
I nudge the bag lightly with my boot, showing Aja that whatever is inside is alive. She frowns, and perhaps she begins to understand what it is. She speaks in her comm for her men to stand down.
What's in the gory damn bag?
I open it up and pull out the heir to the morning throne like he's a freshly caught rabbit. Lysander's hands and feet are bound gently, and a silk scarf has been tied over his mouth to keep him from making noise. I untie it.
Hello, Aja, he says.
Aja lunges at him. I pull him backward.
Ah!
I hold my razor to the boy's neck, letting it curl around, just as the affectionate oracle wrapped itself around my wrist. Aja freezes. Her Praetorians watch quietly.
black helmets and purple capes making them shadows. The few Bellona take steps forward. Azure motions them back.